Everybody should mute.
Okay, good evening, everyone. This is the 90th shir of Da'as Tefila, and we are discussing, it's hard to know what we're discussing. We are going to get back to Tefila soon. Right now, we're discussing why the world was created, which is related to Tefila. I guess everything's related to Tefila, and I guess everything's related to why the world was created. We introduced a third suggestion of the Ramchal, who seemed particularly interested in this question. Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato in the 1700s seemed particularly interested in this question as to why God created the world, a question that we can't truly answer, but we can begin to guess. He had suggested several things. One reason was that God created the world because for some reason, and all these are going to have the word for some, the phrase for some reason in them, because God doesn't really need anything. But for some reason, God seemed to want that he should have to'arim, he called it, attributes. He should have attributes. He should be kind. He should be a judge. He should be a king. Can't be any of those things unless you create a world. And for some reason, God wanted to have those attributes. And because of that, he created a world so that he could relate to it and thus have all of these attributes. That was reason number one. Reason number two that God created the world was because he wanted to do good in particular. It wasn't that he wanted to be seen as good, or he wanted to have the attribute of good, but he wanted to do good. He wanted to shower good upon others. And therefore, he needed a world in order to shower that good upon others. And both of those reasons we suggested, are reasons why tefillah, even though it really helps us, it's really there for us. It's an opportunity for us. Despite that, tefillah actually serves one of the main reasons for the creation of the world. Number one, to the extent that God wants to have attributes, the access point to God's attributes, the starting point, is that God is king, Malchus, that God creates everything, that God is a king that we have to submit before him. That is the starting point for all of the attributes, Malchus. It's for that reason, in a Kabbalistic sense, that Malchus is the tenth of the Sphiros. The Sphiros are, roughly put, descriptions of ways that God relates to the world. And the bottom Sphira, the one that's closest to the world, the one that's easiest to access, is that of Malchus, that God is a melech. If we can understand that God is a king, then we can begin to climb that ladder and understand the other ways that he relates to the world. If that's so, explained Rav Rakovsky, then establishing him as king, relating to him as a king, is the access point to us relating to him, and for him having these attributes, him having these connections. And we explained, according to the Maharal, that that's really what tefillah is. Tefillah is, most of all, just recognizing that God is the king. I need him for everything. Everything is his. That was approach number one. Approach number two was that of Rabbeinu Bachya, who explained that effectively God wants to do good. And prayer, even though tefillah serves us, it makes us more worthy of good. It allows us to do tshuva. It allows us to beg for our needs. It basically accomplishes God's goal, because we always think, and I know I certainly think this way, that God, I need to convince God to give me things, as if I'm working against him. Very similar to the fact that a young child thinks that they need to convince their parents to give them good things, as if the parent doesn't want to give them. If you're begging the child, begging the parent for a candy, why did the parent buy the candy in the first place? Maybe for themselves, could be. But it's very likely that given the candy was bought for the kids anyway. So if we realize that God wants nothing more than for us to be worthy of reward, worthy of the things we ask for, we're effectively lining up our goals with His. When we pray, we can pretend that we've wrestled something out of God's hands. Ha ha, I got it. But in effect, God is smiling much more broadly than we are smiling when He gives us something. And tefillah, which is a primary way to bring about the plenty, the shefa of God, is thus very much in line with the reason for the creation of the world. Okay? So again, those are the two basic approaches that we started with. Either tefillah allows us to relate to Him as a melech, and He wants for some reason to be a melech. That's the root of all the attributes. He wants to be a melech. So tefillah is the avoda. Tefillah is the place where we serve Him as we serve a king, especially in the lack of korbanos today. So it's not just that prayer is one of the 613 mitzvos. Prayer is just one of the things that we do during the day. There is no time during the day that we are in more a melech servant relationship than when we stand before Him and we say, "You are God." And secondly, there's perhaps nothing more powerful during our day that brings us reward, that brings us results. And those results are exactly why God wanted us to exist in the first place, so He could shower us with that good. So tefillah, in those two senses, serves the very purpose of the creation of the world, more than anything else, more than any other types of service that we do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Number three. So number three, the Ramchal said last week, a deep concept, but a third reason, Yidiyah Shlishit, it's on the, in front of you, Yidiyah Shlishit beKavanah Shel Briyas HaOlam, a very deep, Shehi Yidiyah Nifla'a Ma'od, a very deep concept, V'hu, Shehama'atzil Yitbarach Shemo, that God in His excellence and His glory, Ratza Legalot Yichudo. We've been struggling with this the last week. What is this concept? God wants for His oneness to be revealed. He wants for His oneness to be revealed. It's not just that He wants to be related to as a king. It's that He wants us to understand that every single thing that goes on in the world, everything that we perceive as good, everything that we perceive as bad, everything that we perceive as godly, everything that we perceive as anti-godly, that everything is ultimately part of one fantastic script that brings us to the end of time. And even though He gives free will to many of the people who carry out these actions, whether they be actions that are violations, ben adam l'chaveiro, that hurt other people, or violations of ben adam l'makom, that seem to go against Him and acknowledging Him, all of that somehow was part of His plan. And that grand scene at the end of the film, where suddenly everything becomes clear, that's the goal of creation. Laharot ki ani rishon v'ani acharon. I am the first, I am the last. V'al kol panim kol klalata hafoch l'bracha v'chol ra yachzer latov. And at the end of the day, and it has to be this way. Al kol panim here means several things. It has to be. It was always going to be that. We'll realize that it always had to be that way. Everything that we thought was a klala will turn into a bracha, will be seen as a bracha. V'chol ra yachzer latov. And everything that is bad will revert to good, not just that it will work out, but it will be clear somehow to us that it was for good. And that's the sod of the pasuk that says, I praise you, God, because you afflicted me. That's not a sentence that I can translate very easily. But after that, comes and follows the understanding that all of the spheros reflect God in different ways, right? The first sphere that we relate to is Chesed. And then there's Din and Tiferes and Netzach and Hod. They make God look multifaceted. Even as God reveals himself through the spheros, even if we perceive that God is running things in our life, they still seem to come through disparate goals that God has, disparate things that God wants to accomplish. And what will happen at the end of time is that we'll realize that all of this was the same. It was kulo chesed. Everything was there just to be able to give to us. And the times we were judged and the times where our Kadosh Baruch Hu seemed distant, we won't just recognize that God is judging us. That's one level, right? One level is to recognize that the one who's judging us is God. Another level is to realize that he wasn't really judging us at all. Or if he was judging us, he was judging us because he loved us and because he wanted to get to the same goal. That's, I think, what that phrase means. Fa'achazen imshechas hayadiyah, comes the understanding that all the spheros, they all come back to yichud ha'elyon shel ein sof baruch hu. This idea is not very well understood in our generation. For who be'emes ikar emunasan shel Yisrael. It is, at the same time, the foundational belief of the Jewish people, and it also is the foundation of what we have to work on in our belief. L'das yichud ha'ma'atzil yitbarach shemo. Hu lahagia lizos ha'yidiyya tzarech yigia rabah. And if you understand this, you understand all the wisdoms in a deep way. Where is he getting this idea that this is the Iker Emuna of the Jewish people? Not that God exists. Not that God gave the Torah. What gives the Ramchal the right to say that this is the Iker Yedia of the Jewish? This is the Iker of Emuna of the Jewish people. Where did he get that from?
I would say Avraham Avinu.
Okay, go ahead. It'll make for a good drasha this week, I'm sure. Yeah.
No, Avraham Avinu teaches the world there's only one God. That's it. There's a Borei Olam. There's not. He has many layers to him, but it's all echad. There's all this yichud, this uniqueness.
You're close. Avraham Avinu does teach that it's echad.
Okay, that's what I got.
That's close, yeah. It's in the word achdos. That's where it really comes from, right? It's not just that there are no other gods, but it's achdos, and it comes pashtos from. You're right. It probably started from Avraham Avinu, and it goes through Shema. Correct. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We mistakenly think that that phrase means that there's only one God. That isn't close to what that phrase means. Specifically by mentioning Hashem and Elokeinu, right? Without going into the depths of what those two names mean, but obviously we speak of those names at times we feel that God is relating to us in different ways in our lives. And to say, no, that's all one. It's all one. Right? So that's where he's building that from the Pasuk of Shema. Einanu oskim kan b'limud ha-yediyah hazos. So we're not actually learning about this yediyah. Amnam neva'er hagdarasa hanugas le'inyaneinu k'loshen haramchal. Let's at least know what we have to know about this for our subject of tefillah in the language of the Ramchal. He says, in a different sefer, Kuf Lamed Ches, Pischei Chachma, see, he quotes there, Yichud Ha'Ein Sof Baruch Hu, who, the fact that the Ein Sof is one, is unified, is united, is all towards one purpose, Shirak Ritzono Yitbarach, Hu Hanimtza, there's only the Ratzon of Hashem, Ve'ein shum ratzon acher nimtza ela mimenu. There's nothing. There are no other agendas. That's so hard to fathom. What does that mean? There's no other agendas. Everything that happens in the world is because he wants it, some reason to happen for something that's out there. Al kein hu levado shalait v'lo shum ratzon acher.
Where does free will fall into this?
So that just what you have to understand free will in one of two ways. The simpler way to understand it is to say that in general, free will serves the Ratzon of Hashem. Is that he decides to give us free will. And he decides that at every moment that he wants it. If it's convenient, he gives us free will. But he doesn't have to give us free will. But what the Ramchal seems to be saying is that no matter whether we turn right or left, he has a plan for how that leads to the point that he wants to get to. That's what it means. And that's, so no matter what we choose, he is able to figure out how both of those plans lead to the same place anyway. Again, they lead to the same place, perhaps in a very roundabout place. It doesn't mean that I don't get the result of my free will. My actions have consequences, natural consequences, and they occur because in the short term, they do produce wildly different outcomes.
So Hopdil, there's a science fiction trilogy called the Foundation series, and that what you just said is a premise of the whole thing.
Okay, so I have to have more Bakias. The what series?
Isaac Asimov, who actually wrote a paper.
Isaac Asimov, okay. So that's the idea. Inyan Yediyazu Lahavin Kol Mashinivra Oshanase Be'olam. That we have to try to understand how everything that comes about is a result, comes from his ratzon. That's the word, legalgel hakol. It all rolls towards, it all eventually makes it. Right? And what greater expression is there of his complete power that whatever we choose, it's still going to end up being the same thing at the end. That line gives you a sense of what yichud means, his utter control of the world. His utter control of the world. That we're foolish. We don't get the fact that at the end of the day, he's going to get what he wants anyway. If I go this, he's going to end up getting what he wants. If I do that, he's going to end up getting what he wants. That's what it means, Yichud HaBoreh. Me'inyan ze mishtaleshes bria ma'areches hara v'chol inyanav. From this understanding comes the ability, comes the entire world of Ra and all of it, and everything that has to do with Ra. Kedei laharot shekol ma shehu ra batchila eino yotzei mirushut acher. Right? And the end of the day, even things that are terrible, it's going to turn out that the worst Rishayim are going to find out that they were playing into the hands of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, despite the fact that what they did was truly terrible. It doesn't take away from how terrible what they did, and it doesn't take away from the fact that what resulted from it was, appeared to be absolute Ra at the time. And it was Ra for what it was at that moment. But somehow, even the worst Rishayim, the worst people who are fighting against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the worst people who are fighting against the Jewish people, are somehow advancing the position of the Jewish people.
It sounds so much like the story of Purim.
Yeah.
All the Gezeros and Achashverosh and Haman just helped bring about the Gula.
Exactly. In an attempt to take down the Jews, they ended up putting the Jews fully in power. Exactly what they feared, right? Haman had this crazy conspiracy theory that the Jews are spread out around the nation. They're running the country. Lemaisa, they weren't. And in his attempt to get rid of them, he takabut them in the place that they're running the country. Right? Exactly. And it's not just v'nahafochu. It's not just that it flipped and it was the opposite, right? It's not just v'nafocho, that he tried to kill him, and it's not just that he tried to kill him and he didn't, so let's eat and we'll have a party. No, right? Everything he did to try to put the Jews out of power, put them in power. And nervously, one can suggest there's something in there about the 1940s. Something that cannot in any way be fathomed because of its wickedness. Someone who was convinced that the Jews were all powerful, even though at the time the Jews had absolutely no power whatsoever, ended up seemingly creating the conditions that gave the Jews more power than they've had in 2,000 years. And it doesn't excuse the action, and it doesn't take away from the fact that there is evil in it. But, and one can't say it happened just because, you can't say those words, but imagine if it did. Imagine if there was an element of it that was there in order to create the state of Israel. That's what we're talking about here. That all of Ra ends up turning on its head and ends up advancing the plans of the Ribono Shel Olam. Because there really is no other force that's running things. Va'az noda shelo yesh reshut acher elohu. And then we'll know that there's no other reshus, there's no other power except for him. Oh, where did I just go here? Why is that not working? Don't know. Okay, hold on. What if I do down? Oh, there we go. That's better. Okay. Nope. Uh-oh. Hold on a second, everybody. Figure out where we are. Where we just went. Okay. Nidon dvareinu kachu. So now he says, finally, I think this is a tefillah sefer. I forgot. The name of the sefer is a tefillah sefer. So he says, okay, what does this have to do with any, what does anything we've been talking about have anything to do with tefillah and korban? So naniach that this chapter is about korban. It's about korban and tefillah. But what does it have to do with even korban? We've said that whatever the purpose is of creation, avoda fuels creation. Okay, creation runs on, not Duncan, it runs on avoda. Creation runs on avoda. And avoda is korban and tefillah. Ba'im Anu Levayer, he gives this whole big introduction because he's been seemingly out in nowhere for so long. Now we're coming to explain how Avodas HaKarbanos and HaTefillah To'eles Inyan Zeh Shel Gilu Yechudo Yisbarach. We're going to have to show now how Avoda, which is defined as Tefillah and Korban, feed into this particular goal of the world to uncover God's uniqueness and to uncover his oneness. L'shem kach navila halan et ikarei ha-de'ot ha-kozavot. So in order to do that, he says, I'm going to tease you, we have to go backwards again. We have to figure out what are all the building blocks of heresy. Because the purpose of the world is to get to a true understanding of what God is and what he does. Anything that is less than that, any mistake that diminishes the role of God in the world is going to be some sort of heresy. And what he's going to show, based on the Ramchal, is that all the various heresies that have crept up during the world, during the history, are all elements of denying the fact that Ein Od Milvado. And that somehow, piece by piece, through tefillah, we can correct these mistaken ideologies, or through tefillah, we can correct within ourselves the mistakes of this mistaken ideology, and through that come to the understanding that Ein Od Milvado. Because for some reason, God didn't just want that everything should be under his control. He wanted a being, me, you, to get that. Why should he care if an ant, understands? That's the piece of the puzzle here that's so ridiculous to understand. For some reason, he wants us to go, When we have a leap in faith, not a leap of faith, but we have a leap in faith, when we recognize that, oh, that was God, we accomplish his purpose for creating the world. That moment of light bulb, oh, maybe that was from God. That's not just a religious moment. That's not just a moment of personal growth. That's a moment where God says, that's why I created the whole world. So Penner could realize that the fact that he got into a fender bender was my actions. That's what he says. I didn't, Baruch Hashem, I didn't get into a fender bender. Okay, I mean, I must have at some point, but I didn't recently. But that's the reason. L'shem kach navi l'halran et ikarei ha-de'ot ha-kozavot. What a grand plan he has for us here. I'm going to bring for you a summary of the mistakes that mankind has made that has hidden the face of God. Kifi sheheviyan sham haramchal b'sifro Das Tfunos. This forms a fundamental part of the book Das Tfunos. Unevaer keitzad mitkayemet be'amud ha'avoda ha'ra'ah ha'sholelet de'otu. And how by serving God, by improving in our tefillah, we train ourselves to correct the mistakes that led to all of this confusion about what God is. Heyech mevatei. Where did it go? It's one line I need there. Heyech mevatei. There it is. Oved Hashem b'ma'asav et ha'la'afuke. How an Oved Hashem, specifically one who is praying or bringing a korban, does things la'afuke. La'afuke is a very hard word to explain, and especially hard to explain without your right thumb. Right? La'afuke means to, to take out is what it means literally. La'afuke means to take out, but it means to I don't even know how you translate that word, to undercut a particular belief, to undercut a particular incorrect belief that's out there in the world. Hachutzah midei otam deot kafrot, to take out, to remove, to undercut those deot kofrot. Al yedei kach titbarer lanu, then we'll understand, lefi erkenu va'aniyut da'atenu, at our level and the simplicity of our thought, to eles inyan ha'avoda begiloi kavona ne'atzel azu shabria, we'll be able to understand how every time that we pray, we actually accomplish the purpose of the world, which is to be in confusion about whether God runs the world for a moment, or for 1,000 years, or for 5,000 years, 6,000 years. To be in confusion, to be in a state where it looks like other things are real, and then to remind ourselves that's not real. Really, everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, that's not just a correction. It's not just a good moment in our day. That's what the world is about, is a myriad of those moments that eventually will pull away everything at the end of time. Okay. So we're going to start learning next week. Don't say that. Don't tell anybody. But we're going to start learning Kfira with Rabbi Penner. That's what we're going to do next week and onwards. We're going to be learning Kfira with Rabbi Penner, which is what many of those to the right of us think goes on in Yeshiva University. Kfira with Rabbi Penner. And we're going to start learning what all the Kfira is. And then we're going to la'afuke it. We're going to learn what's not true. And we're going to see how Tfila helps remind us and teach us that those things aren't true. I'm very excited to keep going forward here in this incredible, incredible Sefer. Okay, have a...